Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, these are your children. They love you. They come out to sit at your table to eat fresh manna from heaven. Father God, I know a lot of them have needs that need to be met. And I'm asking you, Father God, to meet each and every need here tonight. I'm asking you to do the impossible, Father. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. God's really good to us. Don't forget, Friday night we have a Good Friday service at 7. Don't forget to enjoy the weather. Amen. Everybody said, oh, it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be in the 60s. It's going to be fantastic. And I walked outside and it's raining. I said, well, what happened to this beautiful weather we've been having? Amen. Well, tonight I want to teach on communion. We're going to have communion after the teaching. So I really want you to listen to what you're being taught. And I want you to get yourself ready to take communion. All right? We're going to have the little plastic things, cups tonight, because the little ones are already prepared. They turned into wine. And so we threw them out because we didn't want you to get drunk. And we haven't ordered any more yet. So I wasn't going to be accused of serving you wine tonight. All right. In the upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his coming death. See, not only himself, but his disciples also. He gave the Passover meal a new meaning. The loaf of bread and a cup of wine represent his body that was soon to be sacrificed and his blood that will be shed. With this, so became what we know and call the Lord's Supper. And Matthew 26:17 says, now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. See, Jesus, the house was already set apart to do this. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? So isn't that the way we are? Are you finished with me, Lord? Is it me you're talking about, Lord, you know? And he answered it, and Jesus answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And Jesus said to him, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I want to stop there a second and go back to verse 25. Then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And Jesus said to him, you have said it. Now, as I was reading that and studying that, I thought, now, Judas must not have known that he was going to betray Jesus. He couldn't have. He wouldn't even ask that question. And later on, it says, we aren't going to read that scripture tonight, I don't believe, but later on it does say that the enemy entered into Judas when it was his time to betray Jesus. So when he asked him here, the enemy was not in him yet. All right? Sometimes we don't know what we're going to be used to do, good or indifferent. And we might be like Judas, say, God, don't let that be me. that's going to do this thing to you or to anybody else. And so as far as I'm concerned, we have to keep ourselves totally and completely covered. But then see, with Judas, he was set apart to do this. That was his lot in life, was to betray Jesus. So really, unless you really know what your the prophetic word says to you, and you better know what it says to you, you might be used to do something that's not very nice. That's why it's so very, very important that you read your prophetic words that you're given and you understand what God is saying to you, so that you know whether or not you have a little loophole there where Satan can come in and use you to do something that is not of God. All right. All right, then verse 30 says, and when they had sung a hymn, this was Jesus and his disciples, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And you know, this is the first time when they had sung a hymn really stuck out to me. You know, even Jesus and his disciples were praising, you know, after their meal, you know. Now, over the years, a lot of us have been taught that communion is largely a symbolic thing or simply an act of remembrance. But it is clear from the New Testament that the early Christians saw it as being much more than that. Otherwise, why would they have taken communion every day from house to house, every day from house to house? I want to stop there. We don't do communion here because, you know, we used to do it once a month or whatever. And God said, I want you to stop it. Don't do communion like that ever again. It's become a ritual. It means absolutely nothing to the people. And when I stopped having communion, people said, why don't we have communion? And, you know, and I told them what God said. And I said, you know, you can always have communion at home by yourself. If it really bothers you, just have it at home by yourself. But I'm not going to go against God because he told me to stop having it. And then we're going to read on in a little bit here why he told us to quit, not have it no more. You know, all the time, monthly or every Sunday or whatever we was doing at that time. In Acts 2:46 and 47, they worshiped together at the temple each day. This is the people who were born again, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They worshiped together at the temple each day, every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. See, all the while they were praising God. They weren't mumbling and complaining because they had to do it. They were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. They were enjoying each other's company. Are you seeing this? There's a proper way to have communion. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. So every day, people were being added to their church because they were doing they were living right first, and they were doing communion in a proper manner. So then God blessed their communion. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Also, if it was only symbolic, why did Paul say what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:29? For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. This is why God told me to quit having, because the people are eating and drinking God's judgment upon themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have died. Let's read that again. Paul said, for if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, you know, that's taking communion, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Think about it. How can a mere symbol have the power to actually make people that sick when it is misused? The fact is, just like baptism, the Lord's Supper is not no symbol at all. And it is very real. Partaking of the life of Jesus afresh. And it is very clear from all the New Testament writings on the subject that the apostles were very aware how powerful and important it was. However, Based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, an actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant, that it washes us from sin. We are supposed to partake of it by faith, a fresh impartation of the very essence of Jesus himself. And let's take a look at the scriptures to find proof of all this. And I want to stop there, because as I was typing this up and looking at the different scriptures, I thought, you know, if you get up in the morning and you read your word and you have fellowship with the Father, that would be a perfect time to have communion with the Father. You're already there. You're already having your private time with the Lord. Why not just have your communion there too? That just takes a few minutes more. Then you're set to go for the rest of the day, right? You know, Jay Bartlett, he always has communion before he does deliverance. And I think you all do that too, right? So once they found that out, then they started doing it too. And they said it really have an impact on deliverance. Is that right? So, you know, the communion is very, very, very important to God. And the body of Christ has been taking it too lightly. All right. So I said, we are supposed to partake of communion by faith, a fresh impartation of the very presence of Jesus himself. And let's take a look in the scriptures and find proof for all of this. Remember Jesus' words when he first partook of the Lord's Supper with his disciples in Matthew 26 and 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice that he did not say, "This is a symbol of my body or blood." Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And that is clearly the way his followers were to treat communion from that time on. It was to be a real partaking of all the empowering and cleansing found in the spiritual body and blood of Jesus. It was to be taken in faith, receiving from God a fresh impartation each time. So if you do this every morning, you are receiving a fresh impartation of Jesus every morning before you start your day. All right. I don't care what part of the day you do this, but every time you do it at that given point, you're having a fresh impartation. And I really believe if we would do that, we would find ourselves in less problems. You know, not as many temptations. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? And we wouldn't be down in the molly grubs all the time, but, "Oh, woe is me. Why isn't God moving? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening?" Because if you have a fresh impartation of Jesus every day, then you are new inside. Your thought life should be brand new. And you should just be expecting God, the wonderful God that we serve, to move continually in our lives. See, the body of Christ has been so trained to just come to church and sit. And not really, you haven't been trained to use your mind for yourself. You haven't been trained to get in the Word and you know, listen for God's voice. You've just been trained, "Well, just come, pay your tithe, be a head count, and go on. And you'll go to heaven if you do that," and that's not true. And seeing God's trying to retrain the body of Christ the proper way. And I'm hoping tonight that you look at communion in a different way than you ever have looked at it before. Remember, Jesus had said these dramatic words in John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." So Jesus said, if you don't do this, you have no life in you. You know, if you don't partake of his blood and his flesh, you have no life in you. If you just observe communion as just a symbol, there's no life in you. We have to learn that when we do this, we're expecting God to come alive within us at that given second. And we're expecting, because he's come alive within us whenever we do that given second, well, then there's power and authority all day long. All right? And, you know, this just came to me. If I was you, I would carry a communion cup with me all day long. And whenever you feel drained, I would do communion with me again. This is just what God just said. And that would be awesome, wouldn't it? You know, because, you know, sometimes the enemy can come in and wear you out. But then if you sit and you say, yeah, Father, I'm going to have communion with you right now because I need freshened. I need you to come in anew and to really freshen me up so I can keep going on. And so if you don't have those days where you feel like you can't go on, then I want you to stand up and give a testimony of what it's like living in heaven, all right? Because you're already perfected and you shouldn't even be sitting here. Because every day, you know, sometimes every day, maybe you get a day when he doesn't, but most every day the enemy comes in like a flood, doesn't he? And we have to continually be calling out to God. And what God's been telling me, it's going to get worse and not better. But, you know, because even though we're lights, the darkness is going to try to take us out. And we're always going to be in a battle for our soul. And you know, we just might as well get used to it. You know, I often think about the men who die for us, you know, when they go overseas and they fight for us. And they go over there knowing they might not ever come back home. I mean, I know they didn't expect to ever go over there and have their limbs and stuff blown off, but then that became a reality. So when they were enlisted and they went overseas, they knew that they just might not come back with all their earth or body parts. And so then as a child of God, we need to make up our mind, okay, I am your child, Jesus, and I know I'm going to have to fight to keep my ground. I know the devil's just not going to walk away from me. He's going to fight me tooth and nail every inch of the way. But that's part of the battle plan. If you read about God, everything, he always had a battle going on, didn't he? I'm hoping you got out of your fairy tale salvation. You know, I really do hope you got out of that. And because you were fine until you got born again. Then once you became born again, then you became a threat to the enemy. And it's at that point that your battle started in life. Now, you can't become unborn again. Well, I'll just become unborn again, and then the devil leave me in life. No, you're already messed up. According to the devil, you already got born again, and you already left him and said he wasn't good enough for you, and you already received Jesus Christ. So you're just going to fight. Because when I read about the people who used to serve the devil, they say that the devil was really on them, really hot and heavy, because they left Satan. And he's mad at them, so he targets them even more so than he does you or I. So it's warfare time. Warfare time. So here we have another weapon. Because God told me one time we don't use the weapons that he give of warfare that he gives us. Communion is another weapon, isn't it? I don't know where I'm at, Nancy. In the same passage, Jesus had spoken of himself as the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. And John 6:58 said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." So if we eat of the flesh of Jesus, we're going to live forever, spiritually live forever. And the people who ate the manna in heaven, in the wilderness, weren't given that guarantee. They were just being fed because he was hungry, right? He who feeds on this bread will live forever. We also know that Jesus is the Word of God. He's a fresh bread, and he's also the Word of God. In Revelation 19:13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Jesus is the Word as well as the bread of life. This is the very essence of what we are partaking of here tonight. And we also know exactly what the blood is all about. All the way through the scripture, we are told that the life is in the blood. And we are told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You know, a few years back, God spoke to me and said, daughter, never forget the blood. And so whenever he said it, I knew that the blood had become very, very important to me, that he was letting me know the blood was where it was all at. And I had to always remember the blood. And I found myself from then on always pleading the blood or doing something with the blood. So, and God, he brought that anointing for me to do that. And so each one of you, never forget the blood. There's life in the blood. Question, are you ready to partake of communion as a fresh impartation of these very things to you? If you are, then you are ready to partake of it just as they did in the book of Acts. This is clearly why they partook of it every day. It was that important. And I mean, God really emphasized to me that we all need to start taking communion every single solitary day. All right. They used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus and partaking of his life once more. So we said they used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus and partaking of his life once more. It was like the children of Israel who partook of the manna in the wilderness each day to stay alive. Remember, he put enough for one day and then you couldn't take no more. They did that to stay alive. We need to start taking communion every day to stay alive in Christ. I really want you to get this in your spirit tonight because it's so very important. We have heard of cases where people have actually been physically healed through partaking of communion in this deeper way. This is not surprising because they are partaking of the very life and cleansing of Jesus by faith. This is not surprising because they are partaking of the very life of and cleansing of Jesus by faith. We really need to be doing this all the time, just like the early church. I know people who would get up every day and take communion and pray because they were that sick, and God would heal them of their infirmities. Question, what was it that the Corinthians were doing that actually seemed to turn the power of communion against them? We read it before, let's read it again in 1 Corinthians 11:17. But now, when I mention this next issue, I cannot praise you. Paul was upset with them. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. So when you take communion tonight, you have aught against a brother or sister? Think about it. But, of course, there must be divisions among you so that those of you who are right will be recognized. It's not the Lord's Supper you are concerned about when you come together. For I am told that some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others, and as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Is this really true? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking, or do you really want to disgrace the church of God and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. They were taking communion in the wrong manner. For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." So every time you take communion, you're doing it because it's because of Jesus and what he did for you. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So, if anyone eats his bread or drinks his cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So please, if you're going to take communion each and every day, don't have aught against a brother or sister. You know, don't be doing something stupid and drink it unworthily. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. And that's why right now you should be examining yourself. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. So, you know, before you take communion each day, if you just sit and talk to God, and if you know you have bought against somebody, ask God to forgive you for it and repent for it. And, you know, if you say, God, am I holding aught against a brother and sister? Sometimes we're doing that. We don't even realize it until God shows us, hey, you know, you have a problem in this area. But make sure that you do this before you take communion. Get yourself clean before you do this, and don't drink it unworthily. All right, but if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. But when we are judged and disciplined by the Lord, we will not be condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. And I was wondering, what did they really use for communion? Did they must have had a full-fledged meal there or something. But we aren't going to have that tonight. We're just going to have the wine and the bread, all right? The main problem that we just read here seem to be, one, divisions amongst themselves. Two, not preferring one another. And three, and partaking of communion in a very fleshly and carnal way. Remember, communion is all about partaking of the one body of Christ. So it is not just oneness with Jesus, it is also oneness with our brothers and sisters. It is a thing of true heart unity. And as I was typing this up, I was thinking, you know, Friday is foot washing services. I'm not saying we're going to have one, but, you know, I thought, well, God, really, we should have foot washing service before we have the communion. You know, because what did I say? Remember, communion is all about partaking of the one body of Christ. So it is not just oneness with Jesus, it is also oneness with our brothers and sisters. You know, when you wash your brother or sister's feet, then you're telling them that you are their servant and you are one with them. All right? This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So heart unity amongst your brethren is very important. If you have something against a brother or sister, it is important to go and make things right before taking communion. All right? Remember, we are all kings and priests. Therefore, any one of us can pray and break bread amongst ourselves in our own homes and gatherings. And your communion scriptures are 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 31 and Matthew 26:26 through 28. Now, I said here, if you have something against a brother or sister, it is important to go and make things right before taking communion. Now, you didn't know he was going to do communion tonight, and you have something against a brother or sister, you know, you can't run out of here and run home or wherever you have to go and say, really, I want you to forgive me. If I was you, I would just ask, you know, tell God that you know that you've done wrong, and ask God to, you know, repent, and then ask God to make things right, and then go ahead and take communion. But make sure you do that, all right? Now, remember, bread is the broken body of Christ, and wine is the blood of Christ. We are in what to call the Holy Week. We are celebrating, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I just hope that we here as a body know what we are doing this week. It's not about Easter Bunny. It's not about eggs. It's not about candy in a basket. It's none of that stuff. It's Jesus loved us so much that he allowed himself to be crucified, that he rose again. He died, and he rose again, so you and I can one day sit in heavenly places with him. It's very important that we lack nothing spirit. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. God says it's very important that we lack nothing spiritually, that we understand all spiritual things concerning our walk with God. And we need to understand what our walk with Jesus is all about. And we can't continue to make mistakes like we have been. We have to stop right there. Even tonight before you take communion, you need to ask the Father to please help you walk a more holy and righteous life. So that whenever, wherever you go, people will know that Jesus is with you. You know, Sister Barbara also was telling me tonight that they prayed for somebody who had cancer, and she said that she was, you know, she went to the doctor and she's cancer free. Now, see, if we're walking holy and righteous before the Father, and you know, and the 40-day fast is about over, but you know, you're partaking of the 40-day fast, God's anointing, His power, and His authority is there. He can trust you. So therefore, whenever you pray, your prayers are more effective and God can perform the miracles that He wants to perform. Now, I know that we're going to hear more and more and more of miracles happening when you pray for people, even when you're around people. You won't have to say a word, lay hands or nothing, but see, the anointing that's upon your life will be so strong that it'll just pour out, it'll do whatever needs to be done. So, tonight, I know we're going to take communion, but I'm really, really encouraging us to do communion every day. Every day. I don't know why I keep hearing the word coffee, but I do know that, you know, when I was first born again, people would say, and there's nothing wrong with this, all right, so I'm just throwing this out there, that when they always have a hot cup of coffee or a hot cup of tea in the morning, and so they would just take their coffee or their tea or their milk, whatever they drank first thing in the morning, and they would drink that and, you know, and do communion with that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when, however you do it as unto the Lord, do it with a pure heart, and know that what you're doing is receiving Jesus Christ into you afresh and anew. And that means you have more power and more authority throughout today, the day. And if you wane during the day, take it again. Because according to what they were doing, they didn't care how often they took it, as long as they were doing it properly. And I know, see, this is one thing about doing it in your home by yourself, because you know that you know that you know that you're, where you're sitting is holy and pure and righteous. And you know that when you partake of it, there's nobody around you to undo what you're doing. And so I really think it's, you know, a good thing to take it by yourself in your home. But also, I also know it's a, God wants us to do it as a body. And I'm believing that as we do it as a body, that we are asking God to forgive us for having aught or jealousy or whatever against our brother or sister. And then as we take communion, God's going to reinforce that. And, you know, that repentance that we just did, and He's going to bring a stronger union in, I'm just going to say in this church, because this is who I minister to, is you sheep, all right? But whatever you do, do yourself a big favor, and God a big favor, and don't do it unworthily. Just don't do it. If you're going to do it every day, do it. Make sure it's a holy thing and just not, you know, a practice you're doing now. Okay, well, now I'm going to drink my coffee, so I'm going to eat a piece of bread and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and go on. That's not what you're supposed to do, all right? And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the opportunity to do communion with you this morning, this evening, and with your brothers and your sisters. And Father God, I'm just asking you right now to lift a banner up over us right now. And as the people are preparing their hearts, Father God, I'm just asking you to meet each and every one of them. Listen to what they have to say, Father God, and set them free. So that when they take the communion, Father God, it will be a done deal. It will be a sure thing in their life. And Father, go with us when we leave here tonight. Uphold us in your right hand, Father God, and lead and guide and direct us in the path you would have us to go. And let us be true witnesses, just like in the book of Acts, Father God. Let us be true witnesses of who Jesus Christ really is, so that you can add more souls to the church. Not just this church, every church all over the world. Father God, the world needs to see Jesus in us. Let us be more like your Son, Jesus, after tonight, Father. Let us be willing to sacrifice ourselves for our brothers and our sisters. And Father, let us not look to material things, But let us look to spiritual things, Father. And Father God, if you never give us anything else for the rest of our life on this earth, we just thank you for what you have done. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you that your powerful anointing is upon this communion tonight in a way that it's never been before. And I'm going to tell you really what I'm seeing in the spirit realm is this thunder and lightning over the communion table. And the lightning's just going into the communion, into the wine. And I'm just believing with all my fiber, my being, that God has shown me this to let us know that when we drink tonight, it's the power and authority of God is going to be stronger and stronger and stronger in our life. I'm hearing God say it will not decrease, but it will continue to increase as long as you do it worthily. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The communion table is set up. We are not going to bring it to you. When you feel like you are ready to take communion, come up and get your cup and your bread. And I've already read the scriptures over you. And you just do it whenever you feel that you're doing it worthily unto the Lord. After we do that, if anybody wants to minister to, we'll minister to you. And just remember that it's Jesus that we're serving. We're not serving the world and all of its material things. You know, I know that there's some times when we do communion, there's people in the church who feel like, well, I'm just so unworthy, I can't do that. You know, and God's saying that's not true. You're not unworthy. And he just wants us to ask God to forgive us for whatever we think we're unworthy of. Then trust him that he's heard you, because he does. And don't let the enemy steal from you this night of joy and blessing. And if you'll listen to God, for God, as you're taking this, I mean, I was just sitting here and started to just pray, and God just started speaking to me, telling me what he's going to do with me. Let God speak to you tonight. Take this expecting to hear something from your Father. My children, I am the Almighty One, and I'm with you this night. You don't understand fully what I've done this night, but you will in the days ahead. You understand that I came and I partook of the body also with you. You understand that I gave you my power and my authority. And you will walk in the strength of that all the days of your life. Each of you will see great signs, wonders, and miracles occur wherever you go as you walk with me. Do not allow the enemy to have any more space. Trust me with your entire being. And know that I am God. I am the God of the breakthrough. And children, you are breaking through this night into a new realm of my authority, into a new realm of my blessing. The wilderness that you have been in has ended this night as you partook of this communion. And now I want you to look for blessing after blessing after blessing. There are those of you who need homes, you're going to receive a home. There are those that need a financial breakthrough, you're going to receive your financial breakthrough. There are those who need automobiles, you will receive your automobiles. There are those who have sicknesses in your bodies that you need to be freed from, you will be freed from those sicknesses. I promise you, whatever your need is, it's going to be met. And you will walk in the fullness of who I am. And you will have all power and all authority in the name of my Son, Jesus. Walk ye in the way that I have told you to walk. Expect me to be with you every second of every day. Follow my voice always. And fear not. Fear not, little sheep, fear not. For I, your good shepherd, I am with you. I abide with you always. And I am the one that's taking care of you. Not the world, but I am taking care of you. Do not rely on the things of the world to meet your needs. Do as I tell you to do, and I will meet your needs. If I have given you a promise, then that promise will be fulfilled. I have become very relentless, and I will not allow the enemy to attack you in any way, shape, or form any longer. The things that I have promised you, he's been holding up, and now I am freeing them up this night. And you will see freedom in every area of your life that you have been in bondage to. So rejoice, just rejoice, and then rejoice again. Remember, the enemy is a liar. There is no truth in him. Do not listen to his lies. Do not feed into his program. But keep your eyes steadfast upon me, the Holy One of Israel, and know that I am fulfilling all of my words that I've spoken over your lives. This is your marriages will be restored to fullness. There will be joy and laughter in many, many homes. Drug addictions are going to be broken off of my people. Alcoholism will be broken off of my people. All will be rejoicing in what I am doing in their lives. Be at peace, be still, and know that I am God of the breakthrough.